Hi, this is Mike.
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, this is Emma.
And hi, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community. It is October, which makes it spooky month. It's also episode 173, which I might have just said. And this week we're talking about Gravity, which is probably a spoiler. But anyway, it's been a while since we recorded it, so you'll have to forgive me for forgetting how the fuck this stuff works. Anyway, before we start talking about Lacuna Core related items, I really ought to spread the love around the room in a non-weird way and ask everybody how they are. We'll start with Mike. Mike, how have you been since the last time we procrastinated?
Good, thank you. I've been to Italy, predictably. I've been twice since we last spoke.
Right, only twice? What, are you sleeping? Yeah.
Yes.
When are you next going? Are you,
well, this is the thing. So I'm meant to be going next Thursday. And then...
Are you going to go to the Alcatraz show?
Yes.
Okay.
So the French decided they were going to strike Tuesday to Saturday.
The French?
Yes, as in air traffic control, we're going to shut down most of the
airspace. Oh, right. Just, okay, yeah.
So in my panic, I bought another flight for Monday, and now they've called it off. So I'm actually flying tomorrow morning and have another flight I won't use for Thursday. So I'm going for longer. But yes, going for the week now.
Nice.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
But, so, I didn't change the flight, and I thought, well, if it gets delayed because of strikes or whatever, I might get some compensation if it's a mental delay. That was my thinking. So buy another flight and go there earlier. And it only cost me 20 quid. So
do you get to work there, or do you have to take
time off? For security reasons, I can't.
So you've had to take most of a week off then?
A week off, yeah. Instead of one day.
That's amazing.
Brilliant. And then I did tell Adele.
Or as I like to put it, that escalated quickly.
Yeah. Rather than leaving Thursday after work, well, lunchtime, and then going to the airport, I'm now off for the whole week.
And you told Adele?
I told her after I'd booked everything. So.
Well, that's somewhat presumptuous, Mike. She could have said, I'm not available, you can't stay or something.
She kind of said, oh, okay, well, you're coming now, aren't you? So...
Well, there you go. So Mike's been twice and is so excited to go back again. He's booked two flights. Is quite a few days before he was intending to go. But you are going to the Alcatraz show, so
yes, on Friday. Wow. I'm staying over in Milan because it's just easier.
Cool.
And yeah, hopefully meet some people whilst I'm there.
And see some music and some live performance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's always good.
I'm jealous. I've done nothing this year to, even consider going into Europe or getting a show in Milan or anything like that. I've done nothing. I've just waited for it to arrive and then kind of go, I've done nothing. My lack of decision making. I've got one.
There's nothing wrong with being a lazy fan.
I feel that there is something wrong with it, and I'm now ruining that. I've got one holiday day left, and it's kind of, you keep one as an emergency just in case you need it, right? It's the rainy day holiday, if you know what I mean. That's the only one I've got left, and I'm like, well. I mean, what are you going to do? You'd have to take it on a Friday or a Monday and then spend the week. It's too much like hard work. My brain doesn't work like that anymore. So enjoy your premature flight. And your time in Milan.
I'll potter around for a bit.
And your optionality to get back home really quickly and turn around and fly back to Milan again on your spare ticket that you have. So.
Yes.
Feels like you should be hanging outside the at the airport, kind of going, buy any tickets.
Because I was thinking about trying to claim for Thursdays I'm not using, but typically if I try and do that and try and cancel it, it might cancel the return.
You can guarantee if you do it online, it'll be like, I've cancelled everything and you're never getting back in the country.
They'll be like, oh.
I'm here forever now.
Exactly. All right, well, go you, Mr. Jet Setter.
Yes. Still counting the days because I have to be careful.
Book another flight, is that it?
No, I have to. I can't. You can only be in Europe 90 days out of 180.
That's right. You got your Yeah, I think.
Yeah, until the Irish passport thing is sorted.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about it last time. So, how's that going? Are you?
I've done the paperwork. I just need two witnesses to sign it and then send it off and then wait 10 months.
Yeah, right. Maybe you can find a witness on the plane.
Oh, hi.
Hello there. Diddly-doo. We're on a fake Irish accent to get him to sign your... I'm definitely Irish. Fair enough. Dave, how are you? That's things in the world of Dave.
Can I just apologise to all the Irish?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
On behalf of you.
To be honest, you should probably apologise to the English and everybody else. Right now, yeah. Yes, sorry if you are Irish.
No, that's funny, actually, because I've just been to Dublin.
Oh, yeah, I like Dublin.
Oh, Dave can sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have caught up with Mike.
Do I count as Irish then?
He had a Guinness.
Did you have a Guinness? Did you have a really expensive Guinness?
I had 2 pints of Guinness, actually.
Oh, my God, have you still got a house? What did you...
It's shocking. It's shocking behaviour for me. Nice. This is the first time I've had Guinness since I was about 8, I think, and I tried some of Mum's once.
I love the fact that you've since I've been 8. I love that.
Probably hasn't changed much.
It's got more fucking expensive. Yeah. So you bought yourself 2 pints of Guinness, and you're presumably also able to afford food and the journey home and stuff. So well done.
Yes. Yeah. No. That was. I mean, it was only a quick trip, like a long weekend, but midweek.
Okay. And, I'd be like Mike's holiday.
Yeah. But no, it's been. I mean, when was the last time we spoke? As the whole summer passed, was it
July?
Because there was so much. Yeah, so much gone on.
Yeah.
Since then, even things like dear old Aussie passing.
Indeed.
Which we didn't mention before.
I feel like we did though.
Yeah,
I'm sure
we did.
I think we did. Yeah, because Mike went the week before, didn't we? And we kind of, I vaguely thinking, was it his fault? But I never said anything, so I didn't want to offend him, which is weird for me.
Yeah, it just seems such a long time because we've had basically like the school holidays. So, you know, it's distorted time during those, where I don't do an awful lot of work. We sort of nip out midweek, something have no idea what day of the week it is.
Okay, just generally.
Standard.
Yes.
So you went to Dublin to have a couple of pints of Guinness.
Yes, and to meet our good friends Cal and Dan.
Oh, yeah, of course, I saw pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
And did you like the Guinness?
I did, actually. Yeah, it was. I'm told that Dublin Guinness tastes different than the rest of the world. It's to do with how they export it.
I'm pretty sure that's the taste of your bank account empty.
Yes.
30 quid more expensive.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. They have to say that to justify this.
I have to say the pub prices weren't actually too bad. It's pretty decent.
Wait a minute. Where did you buy your Guinness?
In one of the bars there. I can't remember the name of it actually now. I will have to look that up. But a couple of local bars in the city centre.
Oh, you were in the city centre. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. All right. Well, that's probably why you got away with it. Because
and one of them, like I say, I'll have to look up the name, but one of them was supposedly the smallest bar in Ireland. It's this tiny room downstairs in the basement.
Are you sure that just was someone's house and they were
It might well have been, but they charged me a decent price for a pint of Guinness, so who's complaining?
All right, fair enough.
Win-win.
It was nice bumping into Kel as well, going over to see our Irish Coiler friends. But what I was going to say, the whole of the summer, really, there's been quite a bit of news from various different friends, a lot of them Coilers. And I was just going to say, more than anything, like a plea really to everyone listening, just don't forget to check in with other people as often as you can, because even just a simple message can sometimes make all the difference between brightening someone's day or just so they know they're not forgotten and part of the community. And I know our community is very active. It's always very active. Mm-hmm. Everyone's always very friendly, and we're very good at doing that, keeping bonds, making connections and looking out for each other's backs. But I'd just like to reinforce the need to do that, because a lot of people do get a great benefit from being in the community. And even just a simple message, hi, how are you? We're thinking of you, you know, what are you up to? Every now and again, it can be very important.
Hugely important. Because yeah, thank you for that.
Like I said, it's always, life is good and bad. But certainly over the last few months, I've had various different people who've had, you know, bad news. They're going through troubles, physically, mentally, long-standing conditions. And just that friendship and the connections through the community and through the music has helped them as well. So reach out and stay connected.
Good idea. Good plea.
But there has been some very good news as well with some coilers. I mean, people are, as a couple of friends have had their first house and moved into new abodes, which is all good and exciting.
Very good.
And we have a couple of new arrivals. One already. Mm-hmm. Nick and Cassie have their first child.
Woo!
So we have a new baby coiler.
We have a new baby coiler.
Yep.
Yeah, we're good. Coiler.
Corey.
Yep.
Say hello, Corey.
Hello, Corey, the baby coiler.
And
hi, Corey.
And I like to think it's okay to mention on here, because it has been public knowledge, but Kel and Dan are expecting their own baby coiler as well later in the year.
Wow, awesome. We have a whole concert hall of baby coilers at this rate. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so awesome news. The new generation is growing.
Excellent.
Very good.
That's excellent news. We'll clearly have to work out how we can get them all to concerts as soon as possible.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm young.
Well, of course. Right. I mean, that's a thing. But no, good point. Well said, Dave, especially with regards to reaching out to each other. I mean, we're now at the end of the summer, and we know that as the nights are drawing, it's really easy to kind of feel quite isolated and so forth. And we need to make sure as a community we look after each other, as you say. Mm. Maybe we need to have a karaoke or something. We should plan a karaoke maybe at the end of the month or something like that. Yeah. Feels like with all the Halloween stuff going on, I mean, you know, if we're not going to be seeing bad things anytime soon, it feels like we're missing out, right? So let's sort some shit out, yeah?
Absolutely.
Cool. And Emma, hello, Emma.
Hello.
Joined us again.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. You brighten up our day, and also you're sorting your hair out, which is something
I've done my hair now.
Perpetually jealous. Okay, the hair's all good. I can't say the same. How have you been? What have you been up to?
Well, it's been a strange few months, but I'm doing good now. Yeah, all is well.
So it sounds like a bit of a roller coaster.
It has been, I'm not going to lie. It has been a bit of a roller coaster, but we're on the up now.
And awesome.
I've just booked a flight to New Zealand. So I'm going to New Zealand in January to see my cousin. So that's some positive news.
Holy moly, that's a big thing. Wow.
Yeah. I've never done a long haul flight, and I've never done a flight on my own. So the 29 hours it's going to take to get out there, including a stopover, I'm not quite sure how I'll cope. But
So Spirits.
Easy.
As soon as the seatbelt sign goes off and they start bringing the trolley around, you could do that, or you could start making friends with people. I like randomly talking to people on the plane.
We'll see how I feel. It'll be the way home that's going to be the most brutal, because I leave Auckland on the 30th of January at like 1:40 a.m. their time. I get to Kuala Lumpur. I can't remember what time, but on the 30th, and I get back to London Heathrow on the 30th our time. And so I think that jet lag might set in around then, and I've got 2 days to sort myself out before I go back
to
work.
Just stay up.
How long are you in New Zealand for?
2 weeks.
Now, I'm about to ask a very, very important question. And
have a part.
No, our ongoing friendship is very much dependent on the answer.
Yes, I'm going to Hobbitville.
Oh, fine. Okay, cool. All right. Still, I was a little worried.
Absolutely on the to-do list. After the wedding, get the wedding out of the way because it's my cousin's wedding, and then I'll be sightseeing for a little bit. Okay. So that is one of the things that are on that I have to go to, regardless of anything else.
That's we can still be friends, okay? I would have been so disappointed if you'd flown all the way around the other side of the world and you've at least gone to Hobbiton. You know, there's a couple of other places you should consider. But, you know, Hobbiton's like number one, right?
Absolutely going there without a shadow of a doubt.
Cool. All right. I'm expecting to see you with some false shoes on and
looking for the ring and the Shire.
Yeah. And I mean, you're quite tall, Emma. I'm interested to know how you're going to use force perspective to look like a hobbit. That's going to be quite fun.
I think wear a cape, put the shoes on my knees, I'll be fine.
Put your camera in a tree. Well, I'm very much looking forward to Hobbit pictures.
Yes, you'll get lots
sometime in January. Well, it'll done. Be good. Good stuff. Gosh, what about me? Went on holiday to Wales. That was fun. That was a while ago though. Can't remember. Yeah, I think we missed that one. First time I've been to Wales other than a school trip, which I think I might have mentioned actually last. What am I watching on TV? Weirdly, I'm watching Ted Lasso. Also, Star Wars Andor, I don't get it. Okay, I do not get Star Wars Andor. I'm watching season two, and I'm only 3 episodes in, and I still don't understand why people like this show, but that's just me. I've got a new record player for my birthday, which is cool, so I'm playing all my records again. My old record player wasn't broken. It was just a bit kind of meh. Didn't really like the experience of using it, and I feel if you're going to go, you're going to be using record players, you've got to enjoy the process. Do you know what I mean?
Ritual, isn't it?
Thank you. It is a ritual. And you've got to... you just got to feel it. And I wasn't feeling it. So I got a new record. Well, my wife bought me a new record player. And now there have been many spins of my record player over the last few weeks. So that's been cool.
So other than Lacuna Coil, what have you been playing?
Other than Lacuna Coil, I've played a bit of the Smiths. Got some old Smiths records. U2, I'm just looking across there now. Bad Omens, I Prevail, Bring Me the Horizon, and Hans Zimmer.
Nice.
Oh, and I'll tell you one. Okay, so has anybody heard of Cud? You must have heard of Cud, right?
Like an indie band.
They're an indie band from the 80s. They're actually, their first big album was Leggy Mambo from like the mid 80s. And it's one of my old school classic albums. They're actually playing, I think it's either the end of November or the beginning of December. They're playing like the 40th anniversary or whatever of Leggy Mambo somewhere in London. And I haven't bought tickets yet, but I really ought to go because it's one of those like classic.
Nostalgia
album. So yeah, I've been playing Cud, Smiths, U2. Oh, Iron Maiden as well. Dug out some Iron Maiden albums. Lacuna Coil, obviously, and as I said before, Bad Omens, Bring Me the Horizon, bit of I Prevail, stuff like that. And you. So yeah, it's been a good mix. It has been a good mix. And some Hans Zimmer, just when I, you know, need something on in the background. So, and that's me really. I haven't been streaming on Twitch much actually. But I'm trying to get back into it. Everything was so busy. I got to the end of the day and I was like falling asleep like an old person. but there have been a number of significant games releases that have come out, I'm really struggling to find time to play them all. Like Ghost of Yotai has just come out. I mean,
I thought of you when I saw that.
I know, right? Ghost of Yotai.
Got me playing it.
Ghost of Yotai. I played it for 2 hours so far. I love it every second of it. I'm still halfway through Clair Obscur Expedition 33. I think I'll die before I finish Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So I've been playing that forever and there's no end in sight. What else? Battlefield 6 comes out in a few days' time. I preloaded it. I'll play that. Little Nightmares 3 comes out soon.
Ooh.
I know, right? Little Nightmares.
Yes, love that.
Death Stranding 2, everyone's favourite walking game. Again, I love the first one. The second one's supposed to be better. And that's not including all the games that I'm only half a through. I've got no time to play all these games, but I love them. So there we go. I barely have time to record a podcast, let alone play all the games. Anyway, we've been talking forever about us. We should talk about Lacuna Coil.
Let's go on then.
If we have to.
So it's the end of the festival season, isn't it?
It is.
Aftershock is done and dusted. Yeah, all the way over to West Coast of America for a festival, and then all the way
for
back.
A very special performance.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
finally got to sing with Randy.
They did indeed. Yes, yes. Lots of very cool pictures and Instagram messages, and you know all that kind of stuff, especially from Christina. And very exciting. Yeah. I think we're all a little bit jealous. But got to be there and see it. But it does mean that now flying home and then in as much time as it takes Mike to book a second flight, they're on their way to Italy.
Indeed.
To starting off the European tour, right?
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Which
They certainly haven't sat still at all this year, have they?
No, God, no. God, no, not at all. Well, I mean, I think they probably got about 2 weeks off, didn't they, where every single one of them kind of went, right, I'm going on holiday. And then they were beach pictures and stuff, and then back again.
Yeah, it was about, 10 days maybe, maximum?
Felt like it. But we still, I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because it's like the 10th of October is when they start the tour, but basically they don't hit the UK until...
The end of November.
Yeah. So it feels still, even though it's a European tour, it still feels like a long way away for those of us that are looking forward to seeing them in sunny Southampton. Is that the first date? I think it's the first date.
Yeah,
it is. Mm-hmm. Being a crew out in force.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring your red shoes.
I'm not. The thing is, I'm not part of the being a crew.
Yeah, you are.
You are.
I'm not.
You're the token.
Wow.
The token beaner.
Well, that was brutal.
you're the
it's
one.
What I've always wanted. Hashtag life goals. I'm a token. Wow. The thing is, I'm not even a big fan of Beena, right?
Oh, wait till you get the orange one.
Oh, what? No, that's called Tango.
That's a heresy.
How can you get orange Ribena?
You do strawberry as well.
I don't like to deviate. I like the OG. That's where I'm.
Yeah.
It's Ribena.
What about sparkling Ribena, Emma?
Oh, for God's
sake. I don't mind that. I could do that. They get some for the tour, Mike.
Have they done a snake bite, Beena?
Oh, my God.
Surely missing a trick if they haven't.
Oh, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Ryan used to love it.
For those of you who don't know what Ribena is, because there will be people that are going, what the hell are they talking about, right?
Yeah.
Ribena is...
life.
Golden nectar.
It's basically blackcurrant fruit cordial that you're supposed to add to water in the same way...
Not on tour, you get it ready mixed.
Squash, yeah. So, but that is the OG, okay? You talk about the OG. You buy a bottle of Ribena and you pour it into water, or some of it into water, and then you've got water that tastes like fake blackcurrant, all right? And it's been a unfortunate foundation of British society for a very long time. And then at some stage, they think, well, why give people the choice of how sickly it is? Let's just enforce a certain level of Ribena taste in bottles that we're going to sell. So clearly, Emma... And I think the rest of you guys are addicted to it.
Ryan used to like it. He used to say when they come over on tour, he'd make sure he'd get a bottle of it.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, the reason that Ryan liked it is because he didn't have corn fucking syrup in it, right? Anything out of it.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's why our American friends come over and drink Coke from this country, because it doesn't have corn syrup in it, like everything else. So Ribena, I mean, I'm one of these people, by the way, and I know you're going to hate me for this, but I mean, you clearly already do, because I'm a token Ribena.
Oh.
I'm the sort of person that if I have Ribena, it's a dash. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a dash of Ribena in the water so that you can actually see each individual Ribena ink stain, cloud in the water. And like and then when you drink it, you get a, like the suggestion of blackcurrant, like someone's passed the blackcurrant above the water and then left the room before you drank. That's the level of Ribena I want. If you pour any more than that in, it's just too sweet.
Go hard or go home, Matt. That's what I'm saying.
Well, apparently I'm going to be going home then without any Ribena or any company while you sit there and get your sugar sweats from
so much it melts your enamel.
Exactly. It should be Ribena because of all the fucking E numbers in it. So yeah, letters.
Made with natural ingredients.
Technically, everything is natural, really, if you think about it, because you take other things and put them in together in a lab and create something, but they still came from natural ingredients. Where am I going with this? I don't know. Anyway.
We're spiraling.
We are absolutely spiraling right now. Can't believe you raised Ribena. So, end of tour, beginning of tour, end of season, festival season, beginning of tour. We're all seeing them on Southampton for 5 shows, ending in Brighton about a week later. This is the tour that doesn't include London, which has freaked out so many people. It's just quite funny watching them react to them. It's, for me, Lacuna Coil not playing London is in the same level of reaction as the I Like It video. People just don't know how to respond. It's amazing. It's like, what?
I was just overjoyed the fact that I actually did it. I mean, I know in many respects this is basically tour part two. From carrying on from last year, because there are no city repeats. It's all different areas. Arguable. But I just love the fact that they have essentially snubbed London. It's about time. London literally gets everything, and it doesn't deserve it. Yeah.
Hashtag Londoner. Anyway, Bloodstock, how did you...
Yes, Bloodstock, the height of the summer.
If I'm going to be ridiculed for where I live, ridiculed for the blackcurrant drink I don't drink, we might as well talk about the festival I wasn't at. Go, guys. So
yeah, it's definitely pick on Matt Day, isn't it?
Well, you know,
it is.
That's fine. I can handle it. If I can't,
can we play Spellbound?
No, I might pass out.
I'm sure we can find some time for Spellbound. Bloodstock, tell me about it. What was it like? Who wants to go first?
It was, as far as I'm concerned, the reason anyone went to Bloodstock.
Well, Bloodstock was the reason that anyone went to Bloodstock.
Yeah, that was it. Everyone else, completely forgettable. You know, Machine Head, Trivium, just forget. No, not important. Everyone went for Coil.
Right, so what you're telling me is the reason you went to Bloodstock was for Lacuna Coil.
Okay, that's fine. Yes, that's accurate, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I managed to interpret from that. Mike, do you have a similar view, or were you there for other bands as well?
I'm there every year, so it was an added bonus. They were on the bill. But this year, for me, as a side note, I don't think it was as good, the festival this year, compared to other years, but... Lacuna Coil made up for that, I guess.
So, you weren't impressed with the lineup or the quality of the music, or what?
It just didn't have the same vibe that it has in other years, and it seemed a lot more busier. Even what they've done is, rather than focusing on day tickets for each day, they've shifted it more to selling full weekend tickets, which more people are staying longer, which made it rammed compared to previous years. Which for me, I mean, it's only capped at 20,000 or 25,000. I think it's 20,000.
I thought it's 25.
It's not a big festival, is it, really?
It just seemed, because they've shifted all the selling to doing weekend tickets, it just felt a bit too much like Download for me, and how crowded it was.
Okay.
But that's just a side note for the festival.
So you can't get day tickets anymore to Bloodstock, is that what you're saying?
Yes,
you
but they're in shorter supply and much shorter.
Oh, I see.
Once weekend sells out, they put day tickets on.
Gotcha. So what about you, Emma? What did you think of Bloodstock?
Weirdly enough, this is the first year that I've ever gone, so I didn't really have anything to sort of compare it to.
Yeah.
Other than like previous years at Download. I had, I originally only had a day ticket, and that was purely for Lacuna Core and Orange Goblin, I guess. They were the two that I focused on. And then, obviously, my situation changed and I managed to get a weekend ticket. So I didn't do the Sunday because I needed to get back because I needed to move. But I had such a great time. It was really good. I really enjoyed the energy. Yes, the crowd was a bit at times in the merch stand. I mean, you had no hope if you wanted to go and do anything to get merch because you were in that for quite some time because they only had one stand selling everybody's merch.
Oh, God, really? Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
And the Coil t-shirts took a long time to get put out, didn't they?
Yeah, they
always
did.
Do because they bring them with them.
They bring them with them.
They don't have any.
But I mean, I generally, they did a really, really nice like tribute to Ozzy. There was an Ozzy wall, and I thought that was
the pictures. Yeah,
they sort of debated. Obviously, that happened not long before Bloodstock was due to start. So that wasn't something that was planned, obviously.
No, obviously.
But yeah, I had an absolute blast, and not getting to see Lacuna Core at a festival was a highlight, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't been to Bloodstock for a long time, but it was always very much a kind of a warts and all festival, wasn't it? You know, it always felt like it was rough already, and that was part of its charm. So if it's become too much like Download, then I think it loses that kind of, you know,
it's in the middle at the moment.
Yeah, and it's definitely small enough to not be overwhelming, and that's the one difference that I find between Download and Bloodstock is that Download is so huge. It can be too much. Bloodstock's just about there, so you can still feel not overwhelmed.
Yeah, no, I get that. And so let's talk about the reason that at least one person went. talk about Lacuna Coil. So what did they play and what was the performance?
The performance, it was not at risk, but shortly before, Christina had been saying she'd been having some troubles with her vocal cords.
Yes. The fact
that they were strained, essentially. And she was backwards and forwards to specialists and getting different opinions. What on earth going on? Is this going to be long-term damage? Do I need to rest it? Is it just a cold? So coming up for the Bloodstock performance, she's still under the weather, sore, basically. And so, is it going to affect the performance? And funnily enough, they did the signing session in the Bloodstock signing tent, which was good, but she's kind of on restricted talking allowance, and which is very, very difficult for you try and tell Cree not to talk too much.
It's amazing.
I mean, everyone knows how
what kind of punishment for Cree that is. Sorry, yeah. You can't talk.
It's just agony. So yes, the meet and greets were limited to handshakes and
sign language
as much as possible, but
right. Okay.
The performance itself, she did fine. You couldn't tell there was anything wrong, if there is anything wrong. So it was strong. The vocals were all strong, so it was great. And the energy generally seemed fantastic. I think they looked like they were having a great time.
What a big set list, wasn't it? What did they hit, 45 minutes or something?
Yeah.
Yes. 12 songs.
Did they cut a song? Because they cut
two, I think.
There was some technical difficulties right at the beginning, wasn't there?
Right.
Yeah, I think the playback tapes weren't working for Richard. So then you had Alex trying to faff that out. I'm sure they cut at least one.
Yeah. Maybe.
Do you get any songs you hadn't heard before? Anything new off of Sleepers?
Not yet.
Build the Light came back. Hasn't that been away for a while?
Who Kill the Light? That's not been around for a bit, but yeah. So what do we get? Like Host in the Shadow, Gravity?
We got Layers of Time.
I Wish She Was Dead.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear order?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, go on,
I was just throwing them out.
In order. Layers of Time.
Hey, Emma there, just chucking things
sorry.
In.
Sorry.
Then Reckless.
Layers of Time and then Reckless. Yeah.
Yeah, Host in the Shadow, but no Randy. Kill the Light. Blood, Tears, Dust. Gravity.
Yeah.
Heaven's a Lie.
Which one?
Wish You Were Dead. Enjoy the Silence. Our Truth. Oxygen. And Ending with Never Dawn. And now this This is interesting.
I like that, by the way.
Yeah, ending with Neverdaunt. And as far as I know, I think that's continued for the whole festival season. I think they've used Neverdaunt as a set closer.
They ended in the States as well, and the last tour.
Yeah, and didn't they end the...
Yeah, they ended the last tour.
The main list, the main, yeah, before the encore in Neverdaunt.
Yeah.
So there's been nothing stands in our way.
That hasn't been for over a year, I don't think.
Yeah.
They didn't do it in the US at all.
I thought they did it in the UK. I'm pretty sure the encore ended with Nothing Stands in Our Way.
Yes.
And the main set list ended with Neverdaunt.
It's Neverdaunt. Yeah.
I think it's. But I remember saying when Sleepless Empire came out that Neverdaunt, it makes it a really, really good ending to the album. Even though I thought, because obviously it's used as an intro to the Zombicide, you know, Kickstarter, I kind of made the assumption, given the nature of the song, the way it builds up, I was expecting it to be the first song on the album, but it was the last song on the album, which was the opposite of what I expected, but I think it makes a really good last song.
Yeah.
Very cool. And didn't they, like, cover the staging in rubbish or something? Just to...
Wish You Were Dead, yeah.
Wish you wouldn't stop saying that. I've already been picked on enough as it is.
It was so funny that they did the bang with the Italian flag colours.
That's right.
When it went everywhere. And Vicky Hungerford, one of the directors, they got her out. And it was like she was crimson. She looked annoyed by it. And it was very, very funny.
It was like a ton of paper streamers, wasn't it?
It was like on steroids how much... when it came, before they came on, they had all the fireworks stuff, and I thought this is going to be for the headliner. There was that much of it.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as party cannons go, it's like it was ridiculous. And you thought, is this going to be for the headliner? Oh, no, it's not. It's for Lacuna. And then when they did it, it's like...
I knew there was going to be something because I was talking to Mackie a couple of days beforehand, and he said, we've got something planned for Bloodstock. And I was like, don't tell me. I'm sure I'll see what it is. Well, obviously, I told him that I wasn't going to be there because we were talking about Bloodstock, and I was saying I was going to be on holiday at the time. So I knew there was going to be something, but I didn't know what it was until, of course, I saw the riot of colour and then lots of posts from the band kind of going, look what we did, kind of thing.
Rumour has it that that confetti is headlining next year.
Yeah,
because it's still there.
Because it's still
they
there.
They haven't managed to clear
it. It was there the whole weekend.
Wow.
The other nice touch as well was Andy had a T-shirt gun, which was firing the flags out to the audience. So he's properly in his element. Like
he loved it, Predator. Didn't he?
Yeah. Charging it up and bang, the next one. I thought they were shirts, but I believe they were the Italian We Fear Nothing flags.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I like that. What a great idea.
And I did someone as a side note as well after the show that's a friend of somebody that I was with. He'd never seen Lacuna Call in his life. And when Richard threw the drumstick out into the audience, he caught it.
Wow.
It's like the chances of that. He's like,
and there are people that have seen Lacuna Call dozens of times just on the odd chance of getting a drumstick, and they're like,
he's absolutely tickled pink that he's like, first time I've seen them, I'm going to see them wherever I can.
I was going to ask that important question. I assume he's going to see him again now.
Oh, he said, yeah, he's hooked. He said, based on that alone, he will see them wherever. Yeah.
So. That is, A, that's really good news. B, we have to balance it with the idea he might just be a confetti addict and he just went. I just don't know.
He's going to be really disappointed when they don't do that every show. Yeah.
Come on.
He's got a thing for paper. Yeah.
He'll bring his own.
right at the end, and nothing stands in up.
And
a single party popper goes up. A little cloud of smoke and those little tiny curls of paper come landing on someone's head like the world's worst wig. And they're like,
I was just going to suggest perhaps we ought to take coloured party poppers and recreate this for ourselves. We're not going to be allowed in the venues with party poppers, are we?
I don't think
that's an explosive.
No, well, if we are allowed in the venue, we'll be quickly. I mean, we'll get a swift exit, won't we? Really?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Pretty sure there won't be an ad.
Better scrap that idea before it starts.
just scratch that one off. Okay, you're not doing that one day.
We'll do that in the hotel.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Laguna Golf fans don't throw televisions out the windows. They just fire a single party popper.
Whilst drinking Ribena.
Rock and roll.
That's rock and roll, baby. That's rock and roll. Okay, guys, go. So
we're spiraling again.
Right. So for anybody who's never listened to this podcast, you should know that this is really about Laguna Golf fans having a conversation in a pub. Although we're not in a pub, but it feels like we are. So it's like we get together, we have a chat. We sort of talk about Laguna Golf and we sort of don't, you know, anything can happen. We can end up talking about pumpkins or some shit, you know. You just don't know what you're going to get. So hopefully you're along for the ride. I am going to try and bring this back with another bloodstock related question. Okay. So would you just at least try to answer it? Emma, what was your highlight of the show?
What, the Laguna Golf section of it?
Yeah, let's start there.
Let's start there and work along. I think I absolutely my favorite two songs off of the album, and you might agree, you might not, is I Wish You Were Dead and Host in the Shadow.
Right.
And obviously seeing Laguna Call last year now, it must have been, wasn't it, yeah, when we did the UK tour. Mm-hmm. And we obviously already got that sort of Host in the Shadow that became part of the set list. So and I still love it, and I still love seeing it live. But getting to see I Wish You Were Dead live with it, I just loved that. It was a massive highlight for me. And hearing the rest of the album, I think, because we only got very few select songs, didn't we, at the time last year. We only had three or four, maybe not even that many. So just getting to see them in their element with the cannons going off, and just it was really good. I really enjoyed it, and it was exactly what I needed that weekend.
Nice. It gave me that high, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Mike? What was your highlight?
All of it. I loved
it. You can't just say all of it. That's the answer. Come on.
I was just going to say, I saw them first at Bloodstock in 2007. I missed them when you saw them in 2016.
Yeah.
So to see them back again, I think that it's well deserved that they are back, and I hope that they do come back on a semi-regular basis there, because for me, it fits their genre and style and everything more now on a little festival like that compared to being swallowed up in Download.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Was there a particular song, though, that you kind of...
I Wish You Were Dead. I mean, I've heard it in the States, and it's another uplift in the set to me. Like, I like it. Kind of vibe. And Kill the Light, as Dave mentioned before, that hasn't been on the set list for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious to ask one of them why it's something from that era suddenly gone back on, because it's a random thing to put
a few albums back on. Old now, isn't it, Kill the Light? So,
yeah,
interesting.
Why did they pick that? Was it? Yeah. Why did they pick it compared to, like, say, Fragments of Faith or Fragile or something like that, that was a mainstay all those years ago? They could have picked anything, and
yeah,
curious why.
A random song choice, isn't it?
I love it. I think it worked very well as a random thing in the set. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And what about you, Dave? What's your highlight for you from the stock show?
The cannons.
Okay, so you were there for the confetti as well.
Yeah, I like the spectacle. And I think that's it. It sums it up as the spectacle of it, rather than any particular song. It was just the fun visual aspect of the whole performance. And actually, even more than the cannons, I would say Andy's t-shirt cannon, because he looked so damn happy. He was running around
with a huge cheesy
grin on his face. Yeah. Like, this is the best thing in the world ever. And seeing him have that much fun was brilliant.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, it's always nice when you see people on stage enjoying themselves, right? Not taking it all too seriously. I think when musicians take their performance too seriously, you feel like you've got to take it seriously as well. And it almost deters you from having fun. Do you know what I mean? You know, because there is that lack of, I want to say empathy, but that's probably not the right word. When you see someone genuinely enjoying themselves on stage, it's infectious, right?
You have the connection with them, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Doesn't matter who it is, whether it's the world's biggest band or a guys down the pub, whatever. When they're generally having fun, you can't help but at least feel like you should have fun too, right? And you know, Andy with a cheesy grin and a t-shirt, done, sounds like a lot of fun, and it sounds like it was kind of exactly what was needed on the day. And obviously people got into it and enjoyed it. And I think Bloodstock, I've been a couple of times, and it can feel, because there's a lot of black metal on there, you know, sort of the heavier side of metal music when it hits the UK, certainly heavier generally than, well, it is heavier than Download, right? So it's for, it can sometimes feel a bit serious, right? You know, people out there playing serious chords, you know, and there's not so much groove as a wall of noise. And, you know, there's it's serious shit for serious people. We're all drinking out of Viking horns and thinking of invading another country or something. I don't know, whatever it is we're doing, but it's Bloodstock, right? The clue's in the name. Blood will be spilled. So it's nice to see someone up there genuinely having fun and enjoying themselves and feeling confident in their performance and the crowd enjoying it as well. So, yeah, I regret it. I wasn't able to make Bloodstock, so I'm all a little bit jealous.
Next time.
Hopefully.
Next fingers time when they're headlining the Sophie tent.
Yeah, I keep my fingers crossed.
And the crowd was one of the biggest that I saw of the weekend.
Really?
Because we were down at the very front, but looking back, it was rammed. It wasn't that big before they came on, about 10 minutes before when the switch over, but I looked halfway through and it was like all the way to the back.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's healthy. Cool. Yeah. Well, Bloodstock, there we go. And if anybody listening to this podcast went to Bloodstock and wants to sort of come on and talk about it, or just send us a review, or just reach out to us on the social and share your kind of experience, then feel free to do so. It'd be really nice to hear from you. All right. One final thing, since we're in October, is we have the Lacuna Coil Spooky October questions on our Discord server. So you'll see the thread, and we can post a link to the thread on when we post the show notes of this podcast. But every day in October, we have a spooky / Halloween related question about Lacuna Coil and their music. It's not a quiz, it's just a bit of fun. So it gives you an opportunity to say what your favourite haunted house Lacuna Coil song is, or something like that. And come and join us, basically. Come and join us wherever you are from. Pop into Discord, give us your views, post every day. And you never know, the answers might inspire us to do a karaoke. How about that? As a you never know.
31 song karaoke.
A 31 fucking hell. A 31 song karaoke. My God,
My wings
31.
Sorry, 32 song karaoke. Yeah. I'm pretty
33
sure.
33 with an extra encore.
Oh yeah. So but joking aside,
a month-long karaoke.
But joking aside, do come and join us. Yeah, it's an opportunity to talk with fellow fans. I enjoy these kind of things anyway, so it's good to kind of think about, oh, what song would fit the bill for today? But there you go. It's on our Discord server. We'll put a link in the show notes and come along and join us. And don't be afraid if you join late, which clearly you will, if you've not heard it before, you will have done, because we're already, as we record this, we're 5 days in, and who knows, it's probably going to be December by the time you actually hear this. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, everybody. But don't be afraid to kind of go, oh, I'm late to the party. Here's my first 15 days all in one go. Okay. We just want to hear from you. We really want to hear what fellow fans have to say about the kind of cool music. Right, now that brings us on to our review for episode 173 on the Empty Spiral podcast. We are deep now in Sleepless Empire, coming on to arguably one of the most popular songs, certainly one of the most well-known songs, got an amazing video, which we're not specifically going to talk about today, but I've got no control over what comes out of other people's mouths, so who knows where this is going to go. Let's talk about Gravity. I'm going to pick on Dave first, because I'm sure you've got lots to say about this.
Yeah, I wrote a review on this when it first came out.
You did?
Which I was looking back on. So essentially, I haven't done like a current review. I just looked back on this one that I wrote beforehand.
What does that even mean?
A review.
Like a current one, like now. Now I've like listening to the tracks.
Right,
track
okay.
By track before we comment on them.
Right, okay. So you did your homework this, 6 months ago. You just
these are my thoughts. Yes, these are my initial thoughts. So it's like literally was a first listen, not okay. I've heard it live, I've listened to the album countless times, and I need to listen to it again now to talk about it. You know, like we have done with
the Would you like us to go and get a cup of tea while you do the work needed for this podcast?
It's all long-winded.
All right.
But the bottom line is, these are my initial thoughts rather than the current thoughts.
Right. Okay.
So what I've noted down is that I've got hints of trying to replicate the feel of Beneficium.
Right.
It's got the initial chanted Latin lines and pseudo strings. But then it launches into a more of a retro Lacuna Coil sound. What I put was a mix of Delirium and Unleashed Memories as its backbone structure, apparently.
So you're not even sure about your own
words. No, this is, like I said, this is what I was thinking when it when I first heard it. This is why it's an interest, a bit, just a different approach of doing it, like reading my review that was done a while ago and I haven't seen since.
This is like watching a YouTube reaction in really slow time, isn't it?
you can speed this up on the editing process. And I'll just cut it all out or play it double speed.
Keep talking.
So my notes basically say it's like the harking back to Delirium as a close cousin to Blood, Tears, Dust, for Andy's part, for his verses. But when the Christina's chorus comes in, it doesn't hit you in the face, it stuns you with a sonic taser. Yeah. Whatever that meant.
Finley doesn't know.
Oh, it obviously meant something to me as I'm listening to it for the first time.
I have a question.
What the fuck am I on about?
What's a sonic taser?
Yes.
Star Trek.
You get hit by a taser, your body is like shocked by electricity, right? And you sort of juddering like
but
this.
But not sonic.
Well, it is if it's music.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So it's a sonic taser. So it's music that hits you and makes you go, ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Rather
than
a slap in the face, apparently.
Okay.
You're keeping up with this.
Just about, yeah.
And the whole is sounding much more like Unleashed Memories as an underlying core. So, I'm hearing an Unleashed Memories that has grown up. So it's evolved, and what was the Unleashed Memories sound of yore was the baby
of
and
yore.
Now of yore, yes, you know, the olden days.
Are we now doing this in the style of Chaucer or something?
That's a genuine word.
It was a genuine word, but it's 2025, mate. Okay. Of yore. Okay, let's stick with it.
Evolved and grown up, so that it still sounds like it would be Unleashed, or sounds like Unleashed Memories would be now, which it clearly is.
Okay.
It's the synths that are underlying the chorus more than anything that spark this. Because if you listen to try and break apart the different layers in that chorus, there is this silky synth sound throughout.
You're right.
And that's what really it's like a Air of a Dying Day or something like that that's been transposed into this new era. And I heard that above a lot of the other more obvious layers. Just my ears, I guess. Okay. So it really did. Most of these notes, it's basically saying it's a mix of Andy's delirium-esque chorus, and then what they've the new older grown-up version of the Unleashed Memories backbone for the chorus sound. So
I can see that in the chorus for certain. Yeah, I can see that.
And also one other reference was there's a hint of One Cold Day as well, which I picked up in it.
Yeah, okay.
But that might be down to more pacing than anything. You know, it's a similar kind of gothic vibe, I suppose.
I wonder if, and this, don't take this as a criticism, it generally isn't. I wonder if you'd use that review, that your initial review that you just talked us through, to describe a song and hadn't told people it was Gravity, whether anybody would have got that was Gravity from that description.
I don't think so.
Because I wouldn't have done, but that's fine. It's your review. Okay. More seriously, do you still stand by those words?
There's a lot of it, yes. I think too much of it is just reaction because, you know, first listens, they're obviously very different to when you've lived with a song. And now I have lived with Gravity for a while, you know, seen it live, heard it countless times. Thank you.
Has it got better or worse? Because, you know, some songs are like you don't get the first time, they get better. Sometimes you love straight away, but it quickly...
It's
drops
better,
off. Right?
But I think that's more familiarity.
Well, yeah, okay. Okay.
So technically better is slightly different. I know it better now, so it feels more comfortable, more friendly. You know, you sing along with the chorus, it's more a part of me already, whereas it was new and a lot more alien when I made those notes. So when I was listening to it and writing these little notes, it was I'm looking for things to comment on.
Right, okay.
So now it's just a great song that I know.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. And has anything changed? Do you now, given that we're in the unique position of you having reviewed it back then in quite extensive detail, when you look at your notes, you go, I no longer agree with this statement. Not that I'm looking to, you know, dig holes.
I don't think there's anything beneficium about it.
The Latin.
Apart from, the vague Latin.
that wasn't me sniping, because that is the only thing that is there, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that was more, again, reactionary. Now, no, I wouldn't say it's not the same kind of epic that Beneficium is.
Yeah, it's quite different, isn't it? Okay.
So it's more of a mid-pace goth pounder.
That sounds like...
And lyrically as well, I've picked up perhaps a bit more now than initially as well. And I think lyrically all through the album, there is that sort of theme about society and the struggle of being within society.
I was going to ask you, what do you think the lyrics are about?
That, basically.
Okay.
You know, the...
Do you think it's more of
The centre of gravity is shattered.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's, you know, a cry for help again. It's a bit like, you know, in the meantime, there's these sort of reoccurring little pockets of struggle and coping.
You think this is more of a societal thing than a individual personal thing?
Yes, I do.
Interesting. Yeah. Why?
Because I like to think of things as universally seen, you know, okay. It applies to everyone rather than being self-contained or self-obsessed with, you know, woe is me or look what I'm going through. It's look what we're all dealing with in slightly different ways.
I suppose that ties into kind of the core underlying theme of Sleepless Empire as an album, right? You know, okay, rather than a personal thing. Yeah, okay. I think you're right, by the way, but actually when I put my own notes down in my head, I was thinking this was a personal thing, but the more I think about it, the more I look at the lyrics again, you know, when Christina says, where do we go? When we're not tangible anymore, it's we, rather than I. So it infers a broader blast radius than an individual. Just
and gravity itself is universal. It applies to everyone.
All right, Brian Cox. right, okay, Mike, your thoughts on gravity?
I didn't compare it to anything, to be honest. Future, past, present, just dark, mysterious, futuristic. The Latin bit, I think, works at the start. The one thing I like you mentioned before, the synth in it is very different and works intertwined with it. The one thing for me that gets lost in it, as much as I love the songs, is the guitar work is kind of lost and the drums are, but more, I think it focuses more on the bass element of it. It just seems to be not a mishmash of everything, but it's kind of, I don't know, there's nothing that really stands out in it for me that on a level for each of them other than the bass, which I think works better.
Right. I definitely think this is a song is more focused on the vocal performances and
the music, of course. So that's kind of in the background. Yeah.
It's not this bad, but it's there. It feels like this song is there to support Andrea and Christina's vocal performance rather than rise to the surface as a look, a 2.5 minute drum solo or a guitar solo or a bass line that's got such a groove to it that it's almost unique.
It
works, and even the structure of the song is quite standard, isn't it? You've got your reprise and return, and then you've got the repeat at the end, so it's all closed in a nice little nut.
Yeah, typically that's what I was going to say. It's typically structured like. Or the Lacuna Call songs, that the backwards and forwards between those two. And vocally, it works, obviously, how it does, how it's been constructed. I think if you flipped it the other way around and had more emphasis with Andrea rather than Cree with the main part of it, I don't think it would work as well. Mm. But that ties in also with the video, how it's all linked together. Mm-hmm. And that's it, really. I think it's about being headstrong, not just personally. I think, as you mentioned, Dave, as a society, and the gravity is what's keeping you grounded with that, with whatever's thrown at you in life. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that's fair. Good reflections.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Emma, what are your thoughts on gravity?
Interestingly enough, so when I first heard it, it's been a grower for me. It took me a couple of times of listening to it to kind of get it, and the more I listen to it now, I hear different things each time I listen to it. Mm. I really, really like the song. I can't help but think, like, the beginning part, the Latin part, it always makes me automatically think of like a very fast paced funeral march. Like, it just gives me that kind of vibe whenever I think about it. I kind of like envisage them just walking quickly, like as a procession. But I mean, tying that in with the video, I think it worked. It really does work, and I really appreciate the sort of different aspects with it, the lyrics, and I think it works really, really well. I really enjoy this album. Not that I haven't enjoyed previous albums or anything else like that, but I feel like it's refreshing. At this point of my life, anyway, to have an album like that and hear it. And Gravity is a really, really, really good song that I really enjoy.
Cool. Okay. My own thoughts on Gravity. So I think this is a really groovy song. That's what I like. I like the groove. I think it's got some good hooks in it. Nothing too distinctive, but enough. It's a good song, right? It's got a good vocal lines. I think Andrea's got the best vocal lines in this song. I really do. I love the kind of the metalcore, rap metal kind of opening and those lines at the beginning, feel the adrenaline in my veins as I float in despair with a stone around my heart, really kind of pushing it. And then he ends with the kind of the growl, the growl, pull me down. And then Christina comes up with, I have to, climb up. Was it fall down to climb back on top? That's it. I really like his vocals and his tone in this song. Like, I think he's his standout. Now, no disrespect to Cree. We come to expect great things from Christina, and she delivers here, of course. And her performance is absolutely good for the song. It's what it's needed. But I feel like, and you know, the when Cree and Andy no doubt worked together on the vocal hooks in this song, it's like they gave the real good hook to Andrea in those opening verses. And I love the way I love the way he does it in the video as well, but the way that he strings those words together in the first and second verse, I think, is a highlight vocally for me. And Christina is amazing, of course. Never going to say otherwise, because she really, really knocks it out of the park as well. But there's nothing in the song that pushes her, if you see what I mean. You know, it's not like there is a Venefician high or a House of Shame, or there's anything that kind of makes you go, whoa, that was a Christina song. This is not that song. So there's that. We've already talked about the guitars, and they're definitely the guitars, the bass percussion. They're definitely there to support the vocal performance, and they provide enough of a platform for the vocal performance to shine. Absolutely fine. When I look back at the order of the singles being released before the album, was this the last single that got released? Or was it, other than Wish You Were There, which was like days before, wasn't it? Or the day. I think it was it Oxygen, then Gravity after Hosting the Shadow and Me? It was like, obviously, Never Dawn 2 years ago. And then it was In the Meantime, Hosting the Shadow, Oxygen, and then Gravity, right? I think I'm pretty sure that's the order.
Yeah.
I felt that they kind of got better. Now, my views have changed now. I think that they're all good songs, and we'll come on to the others as we go through the album. But I remember when I first heard and saw the video for Gravity, I was like, yeah, this is a great song. This is a great song. And I think now when I compare it to the rest of the songs on the album, it's in amongst a load of great songs. So it probably doesn't shine as well, as brightly as it did when it was just seen in isolation, for me at least. Okay. I'm not suggesting for a second it's a skippable song, and it's certainly an above average song by a long way. But it's not one of those songs where I go, oh my God, I must listen to Gravity. You know, there are other songs on the album I prefer. I Googled the Latin, and it's really interesting. I'm not going to try and pronounce the Latin, but in English, according to Mr. Google, who, you know, clearly is true here, and actually, I reckon I can probably work out what it was going to say in the most part beforehand, so I think it's true. The lines that at the start and at the end of the song are basically fatal decree, eternal sentence, grim crucifixion, perpetual servitude, fatal decree, eternal abyss, divine refuge, unlucky fortune. Really interesting.
Happy days.
Happy days. Yeah, it's a happy summer song. I think they're really interesting because I think they tie into that sense of being constrained by society, being kept down, not being able to rise up and blossom. You know, the kind of the cage that we find ourselves in, whether real or kind of self-created. They're really interesting kind of statements, one after the other, that can make you feel trapped, right? And when you look at the chorus, of course, you know, I have to fall down to climb back on top. But then that's that. But the center of my gravity is now shattered. I can't find the balance that I've lost. It's really I'm not sure if it's a cry for help. It's an acceptance that things have changed, and you know, you've got to push on. Push beyond the cage or the way in which you're being held up by.
It's encouraging to battle against.
Yeah. And it's that kind of line towards the end where she says, "What was it? Do we travel? Do we disappear somewhere we can't be seen and fall asleep into eternity?" That's kind of saying like it's really easy just give up and
give up. Yeah.
Let the world just flow over us, right? And not choose to keep rising. And I think like a lot of songs on this album, although they're steeped in darkness, there's actually a lot of inspirational lyrics in there. And I think this one is like, don't let gravity, whether it's 1G or whatever, hold you down, find a way to fly, find a way to climb back up. And maybe if you need others to do it, because it talks about we, where do we go? Where do we go? You know, if you need others to help you, then don't be afraid to reach out, right? And climb back up. And then there's this acceptance in the verse of I have to fall down to climb back on top. Mm. Like sometimes you have to go to that place.
You have to hit rock bottom to be able to start afresh.
Exactly. You know, if you're on a road that's going to take you somewhere and you can't stop, then maybe you just need to kind of let go of the rails a bit and let it get there. And then you get to climb back up again. You know, you get to having dealt with that situation or experience that thing, and now you can move on. And I think that's that's really important.
One thing I just thought of is right at the end, it's not quite a fade, but it kind of dissipates.
It comes back again.
I don't have an answer or an opinion, but I wonder if that's significant at all in terms of the context of the song.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it, but it could easily be. It could easily be that kind of moment of nothingness. Do you see what I mean? Where everything all fades away into the background, and then on the return,
dying out bit by bit.
Yeah, it's gone until there's nothing left, and then at that point you get to start afresh. All the music builds again, and that's taking you on a different journey. I like it when they do that because although it can be very very short, it gives you a small moment of reflection, right? And then the music builds, and a lot of bands do it. You definitely get that, and it can be very much a crowd pleasing moment where everything goes quiet. And obviously, live they tend to kind of extend it out, don't they? Sometimes you can get a few moments before it builds up again, just to sort of get people hyped up. It's a cliche, but it works. I don't think that's the reason for it here. I think it actually does tie into the theme of that moment of quietness before you're bursting out again. It's a good song. Scores-wise, what are we going to give it, Dave? What's your thoughts on Gravity?
Ooh, you know what? I hadn't actually thought score. I go with a standard 8, I think. A good, solid...
A standard 8? That's your standard 8. Is it? Okay, yeah.
No, not standard as in like bog standard, as normal.
Standard! Standard. It's like, so what I infer from that is that your basic standard for all Lacuna Course starts at 8, and then it's either above it or below the line.
Well, okay, compared to other people's songs, that's probably true.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, well I wasn't being flippant, right? If you know, knowing how much music you listen to, if generally speaking, a Lacuna Course all song stats sort of sits at about 8 out of 10, then that's your standard. That's your baseline.
It probably is.
Yeah, yeah.
About accurate.
That's all coming out now. It feels like a sort of a therapy session, doesn't it? So. All right, cool. Thank you, Dave. 8 out of 10 for you. What about you, Mike?
8.5.
Standing on the shoulders of giants, Mr. Dyer. Okay, 8.5. Okay. Emma, what about you?
2. No, I'm joking. I would say, no, I just thought I had to do something different there because you're all going to think I'm going to do an 8. It has to be an 8, but I feel like I have to be different at this point. So I'm almost at a 9, so I'm going to go 8.75.
No, I'm drawing a line there. Enough of that bullshit. We are not doing 0.75s.
We want to be gone and don't knock on our doors again.
She's a witch. No. All right, because you're technically a guest, although at this point you're basically claiming residency, I think.
Yeah.
I'll let you get away with an 8.75.
Thank you very much.
But
I don't actually...
But you have to take back the comment about being a token.
I'll take the comment back. If you put your red shoes on, I'll take the 8.75 back, because it actually doesn't sit well with me having such a weird number. I've got to go 9.
I'll tell you what. If you can convince me that I can drink rum and black... All right.
Ooh,
well, that's got beer in it, basically. Yeah. Then I'll let you off the 7.5. How about that? Right.
Well, I'll tell you can drink rum and black. Rum and Ribena would be
Rumbina.
Yeah, rum and Ribena would be absolutely tip top, the best.
Absolutely awful.
In fact, on tour we'll have rum and Ribena.
Rumbina's all round.
Rumbina.
Anyway, so 8.75 or 9? I'm not quite sure.
9. I can't have the 8. The 0.75 is actually setting me off. We're going to go 9.
But you literally put it there.
I know. Okay.
All right.
A solid nine. I'm solid nine. Very, very good song.
Well, yeah. Now, given everything that's just been said, this is no lie. I put 8 out of 10. So this is of a disappointing 8 out of 10 now, given that you were like, everybody's going to be going 8 out of 10. I went 8 out of 10. And yeah, maybe that's also my baseline for Lacuna Court songs. Like, anything less than baseline. Average for me is a 7 out of 10 and downwards, right? But 8 out of 10. Good song. Happy to listen to it. Lots to like in it. Love the vocalines, especially Andreas. Which is probably the reason why I listen to it as much as I do. Cool. Okay, that is Gravity. Very, very good. Well, we're at a close. This is it. I've no idea how long we've been doing this for. But we are at the end of our little Beena blasting. And we're also at the end of the episode. I look forward to a Ribena blaster or whatever it was called. Rumbina. Oh, my stomach's churning at the idea of it right now. But you never know. I won't be. But you will see. Well, anyway, we're at the end. As a reminder, if you want to join us on the Empty Spiral podcast, you're more than welcome to. Just for God's sake, bring a decent soft drink with you when you come. But yeah, everybody here, we're all friends. This is a very friendly environment, as I hope you can tell. It's just a chat, quite frankly. It really is. We just happened to have turned on record and basically press your ears in to listen to us later. Just on the off chance you might hear an interesting nugget about Lacuna Court, right, gang? But yeah, this is what we're here for, and we hope that you're enjoying it, and I hope you all want to come along and hang out with us as well. If you're in the UK at the end of November, we will be at all the shows. So rock up, and if you want to get a Beena blaster, you're more than welcome to join us. Or just sort of hang out, really. We'll be around, right, guys? We will be around.
Indeed.
Yeah. So do hang out.
Come and say hi.
Exactly.
Come for a hug.
Yeah. Free hugs around.
Free hugs around.
We also do free hugs, and you can hang out with the world's tallest hobbit as she prepares for a New Zealand adventure. All good. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking. Thank you so much, gang, as always.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome, Emma, anytime. And it can be basically almost is every time these days, but come back. It's fine. Come back. It's always great. Come back anytime you want. And for everybody else, just please go and listen to more Lacuna Coil and catch you next time.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye for now.
Thank you. See you later.